This is the Friday, April 14th, 2017 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Don Rose. Don, welcome back.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, it's April 14th. You got taxes paid? Everything squared up?
Well, we're working on it.
Aren't we all? One of the topics we did not get a chance to discuss on the program was the cotton market. We've seen a lot of volatility in that market here over the past few weeks. Are we settled in with the USDA's acreage number of 12.2 million acres? Is that what the trade believes?
Well, you know, I think so because, you know, we're far along on that whole process down there. And I think when you look at it, put that in perspective, those are acres up 21% over a year ago. So, you know, we've got a big jump in the acres. You know, on the other side of it, I think the cotton market is very much like the other grain markets. You know, we're oversupplied. The only thing that's really different is we're a big exporter of the U.S., and we're very dependent on Asia from an import standpoint. So I think that's where we're going to watch what China, Vietnam do from an import standpoint. But, you know, certainly it's a market that wants to drift lower into the fall, much like the grains, if we get a big supply.
Okay. Weather, again, going to play a huge part in that as we get into the growing season.
Yeah, I think the weather, but I think also the dollar is going to be a big factor, you know, from an export standpoint.
Well, and we did not get a chance to discuss the dollar. We did see a little bit of weakness, but we're still just that 100, that par mark, is like a magnet that keeps pulling us back, whether we're under or over it. Is that going to be the trend we see throughout the year?
Well, we're kind of handcuffed right at that level. You know, we did have some information from the Trump administration. President Trump did say that he was more in favor of a weaker dollar policy, which was really a turn from what we were talking before. So, you know, a weaker dollar policy probably is a little bit of a plus from an export standpoint. So we'll see how it unfolds. But, you know, the U.S. is still the best of the worst. We're still the one with the best economy. So I think the dollar maintains some strength.
Yeah, I mean, what impact can President Trump have? I mean, most of the strength in the dollar, as you mentioned, is related to the economy, related to Janet Yellen and the Fed's policy of perhaps raising rates again. Is there anything that the Trump administration can do for a softer dollar?
Well, you know, I think a lot of talk here more than anything else because, you know, if you look at it, we're probably, with the economy as strong as it is, we're on a pace to have interest rates continue to rise through you know, maybe one, maybe two more interest rate hikes, you know, during this this next year. And that's positive to the dollar because everybody else is still sitting with interest rates that are very low, negative, you know, even. So we look pretty strong and attractive from an investment standpoint.
Gotcha. All right. While we're talking about international world, we've got a question here from Tim in Crookston, Minnesota. He's on Twitter at $6 Wheat Guy. Tim wants to know, do we use this Argentina wet harvest bean rally to sell the last of old crop beans? And then he says, sell them for real this time. How are you marketing that old crop if you still got some on hand?
Well, you're down to a weather market because just like he said, I mean, South America's crop looks pretty big. Argentina's a little bit wet, but it's really not an issue. It's not a last year's type of issue. They're about 8% harvested right now, about 17% on corn. But look at Brazil's crop. I mean, it's a monster when you look at it. And between Brazil and Argentina, they're going to have about 150% more than supplies than we are going to be. They raise over 6 billion bushel. We raise 4.3 billion bushels. So they're going to be selling their crops getting bigger, not smaller, just the opposite of last year. So I would use a rally of 20 to 30 cents, you know, to sell new crop beans, even 980 on up are selling opportunities.
Okay. Now, one of the things that we did not spend much time on with the program was how to handle old crop corn. You work with a lot of farmers. I've heard through the grapevine that there is still a lot of corn in bins and in commercial storage. Are we just waiting for a Hail Mary now if we've got those old crop corn bushels?
Well, it's a real problem, and the government did cement it in. As of March 1st, we had the producer on farm had 5 billion bushels of corn out of a 15 billion bushel crop that we had this last year. So, you know, there's no doubt there's big supplies out here that have to move. And I think, you know, beans have been pretty aggressive moving. But on the corn, you know, I think short covering rallies, the funds are sitting here big short, and you want to make sure to use short covering rallies, weather rallies, you know, even minor ones as catch-up sales opportunities. And if you want to continue that risk, go to work and transfer it over into the options market because, you know, it's probably going to take a late weather problem to really move a market significantly higher, particularly when you have the big supplies that we had. And we usually say fade the weather early rainy conditions.
All right. On the option strategy with that old crop, what would you be looking at doing? Just Are you going to be buying puts? Are you going to be selling the physical, re-owning with calls if people really want to try to capture a late-season rally?
Yeah, most definitely. That's what I would do. You know, on a minor rally, the funds are short 150,000 contracts. If they get out of what percentage, watch it technically, these rallies, you know, gets up to a resistance over bought, go to work and sell the cash. But re-own it, which is your question, and options, go out into the September, and now you're probably with buy September options, you know, 380s, and then sell 480 December. That starts a premium contract sale for new crop. So I like those a lot because it keeps you in the ball game through the third week of August.
You betcha. All right. Now we've got another question here from some new followers on Twitter. Thank you, folks, for tuning in. This is from at 5ProFarmers. They're asking, do you think we will see a swing in acres with the new logic? Well, corn acres are down, so I'll plant more corn. What do you think?
Well, usually what we do is the acres actually go up about 8 out of the last 10 years. We've went up about 800,000 acres on corn. The bad news is soybeans have also gone up about 1.5 million acres. So if we have decent weather, it all comes down to the prevent plant acres. Those acres go up unless it's really wet and you don't get them planted. So I would bank right now that both of them go up just a little bit. But, you know, those acres probably are a little bit low with the corn rallying back here lately.
Yeah. And so if we follow history, those last 8 years, this could be a year where we see more beans planted than corn. If we had 1.1 million on beans and 800 on corn, I believe that's more beans.
No, it would. It definitely. That's right. Huh. It'd be more beans. We had it one other time in history. That was when a wet year. But, you know, exactly. And I think when you really look at it, both of those, if you take, you're still over 2.3, 2.4 billion on corn. Soybeans, you can really start to scare yourself with a trend line yield. Even you can be up 600, 700 million. And if you happen to get last year's yield, you know, 800 million plus. I mean, they're big numbers. So, you know, when you're looking at selling, you know, keep in mind that you've got big supplies that you're fighting.
Right. 960 might look a lot better than taking that lower again around 850.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's a downside target, you know, 850 and on November beans and December corns, probably 3 to 320. You know, and the soybeans, if they get loose, you know, the problem is when you get down to that low level, the producer's just not going to be interested in selling, so it's going to be a storage issue. And I tell you, where we're at in this market, you really have to make sure you're kind of a merchandiser and use the carries, the basis, you know, to your advantage because you don't have these big prices. It's little windows on merchandising.
Right. Think back to 2004. And how you marketed grain 15 years ago versus how you did it in 2012.
No, that's a good point because that's where you're really at. You know, we're not in these big swings. You know, you hopefully that happens, but you're down to making pennies, not dollars.
Right. Now, we do have a question. We've got a new way of doing our commodity market question where people are sick of looking at me. They want to look at the future of agriculture. And so we've talked to students at Iowa State University, and we encourage all of you at land-grant schools across the country, if you're curious about the markets, get out your phone, shoot a little video, and send it in to us, and we'd love to make sure your question gets on the air. This week, as I mentioned, our question comes from an Iowa State student. And you can learn more about this project if you listen in on Tuesday's M2M podcast. So, Don, here's the second edition of our college-level ag question from students.
For someone who's going to possibly be using the new farmer loans, what would you say is the best time to buy land? Would you say in the next 3 to 5 years or 5 to 10 years?
All right, Don Rose, when do you buy ground?
Well, that's a good question. And I think the first thing you have to look at is land is very much interest rate sensitive. And so interest rates are at historical lows. So I think that's the first thing you think about. You know, can I lock in a rate that gives me, you know, something that is sensible, even if the value of the land comes down? So I'm more in favor of 3 to 5. We're on a setback already on the land values, fairly significant. You know, land historically has been a good investment over the long pull. So I would view it as a setback, an opportunity, and lock in the interest rates in 3 to 5 years.
All right. You buy the farm when it's for sale, right?
Well, you know, like people always tell me, you know, they've never bought a cheap farm. It always seems too high because we're advancing in an inflationary environment.
That's right. Well, Don Rose, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this week.
Thank you, Mike.
And join us again next week when Brian Roach will sit across from me here at the Market to Market table and we'll explore a sour note in a sweet domestic industry. Until then, thanks for watching or listening. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.